This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Overland Park, a congregation that seeks to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord.
Well, good afternoon and Merry Christmas. Really good to be here with all of you. You know, Christmas is such a wonderful time of the year. I have such good memories of Christmas from growing up, and I hope that some good memories are being made for all of you. You know, it's interesting this year, because this is the once out of every 5 or 6 years when the fourth Sunday of Advent is also Christmas Eve. Advent, meaning coming or arrival, is the season where we anticipate the Advent, the coming of Christ. And we do that by first looking forward. We look forward to the day when Christ will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, the day when all things will be made new, the day, according to J.R. Tolkien, when everything sad is going to come untrue. But then, beginning with Lessons and Carols, which was last Sunday, we shift our focus and we start to look back. We look back to Jesus' first advent, his first coming, when the Son of God took on human flesh and came into the world. And so today, obviously, we're going to focus on the Christmas story, but since it's also Advent 4, let's keep those Advent themes in mind because we're going to return to them. You know, I love Luke's account of Jesus' birth, and I want us just to look at this opening phrase. In those days. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. In those days, Caesar Augustus. You know, Luke mentions him, no doubt, to place Jesus' birth in the right historical context. You know, Luke, the author of this gospel, he was more than just a physician. He was a physician, and he really cared about details. He was that. But Luke was also a disciple of the Apostle Paul. Luke was also a theologian in his own right, as evidenced by his writings. You read the Gospel of Luke and Acts. So I think this detail is also meant to remind us that Jesus' birth, it meant that there were now contrasting kings that were competing against one another. In those days, Caesar Augustus, he was the first emperor of the Roman Empire. He was born into a wealthy family. His name was Gaius Octavius, and Julius Caesar was his great uncle. And Julius's will called for Gaius to be adopted at his death and to be made his heir. So Gaius took the name Gaius Julius Caesar. And after Julius Caesar's assassination, he eventually became the sole ruler of Rome. He was given the name Augustus, meaning the great, the magnificent one. He was called a son of the gods, and sacrifices were made in his name. The typical greeting of the day was, "Caesar is Lord." It was written on all the coins, all the money, and it was repeated at every business transaction. As its first emperor, he greatly expanded what was referred to as the Roman Republic into what became the Roman Empire. And he did it through military conquest, covering all the land around the Mediterranean Sea. And while peace was maintained in Rome, they referred to it as the Pax Romana, the empire was expanded through brutality. Once, responding to a revolt in a town called Sepphoris, which is 4 miles from Nazareth, Jesus' childhood home, one of Augustus's generals, a man named Verus, in responding to this revolt, he destroyed the city and had 2,000 people crucified. By the way, Jesus was a young child when that happened. He would have known about it. Augustus was the most powerful, feared person in the world, and probably the most powerful person that the world had ever known up to that point. In those days, Jesus was also born. But is this the one who's going to take on and defeat Augustus? This, you know, poor peasant child born in Bethlehem? It's not what one would consider a likely challenger. We know he was born into a poor family. His birthplace probably looked something like this, and the animals would be on the bottom level, and the family would be up top, but there was no room for them up there because they probably had other guests who were coming in town for the census, so Jesus' family had to stay down there with the animals. The manger where he slept probably looked something like this. Not real comfortable by today's standards, right? In those days, Jesus was born, but except for Joseph and Mary, a few shepherds, and the Magi, he was completely unnoticed. Not a likely challenger at all, but the angel tells us that he is a challenger indeed. "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." In other words, everyone proclaims Caesar is Lord, but now there's competition for that title. There is a new king of a new kingdom on the scene, and he, not Caesar, is Lord over all. Now, the reality is that almost no one then would have believed that that statement would ever be true. No one would have believed, I mean, except for just a handful of people, maybe, that Jesus would ever amount to anything, let alone be more influential and well-known than Caesar. In those days, Jesus, I mean, he was less than an underdog. He wasn't even a gnat compared to Caesar. He was nothing. But history shows the angel's announcement was right. Betting on Jesus would have been the greatest bet ever made. Within a couple of generations, Jesus' kingdom grew to the point that the empire considered it a threat. And so they started en masse persecuting Christians and killing Christians. But it just kept continuing to grow. By you know, a little over 300 years after Jesus' birth, a new Caesar literally bowed to him and made Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire. From a historical perspective, Jesus is the most influential person in the history of the world. Augustus, along with the Roman Empire that he began, certainly had an impact that is still felt today. Hey, he has a month named after him. That's not bad. But ironically, the thing that keeps the name of Caesar Augustus out there for people to remember is that Luke 2, in those days, is read every year all over the world at Christmas in celebration of Jesus' birth. That's why most people know who Caesar Augustus even is. It turns out he's the one who's not even a gnat compared to Jesus. Jesus won the battle with Caesar and his empire. And despite all the odds, all that is in opposition to him, all of the powers and principalities that the Bible talks about, all the systems of this world that are set in opposition against God, all the failures of the people who bear his name throughout the centuries, despite all of it, Jesus continues to win. And you want to know why? Because the message of God's unconditional, self-sacrificing love in Jesus is the most powerful message that the world has ever or will ever know. Nothing stirs the heart like that good news. Nothing. And it will continue to be proclaimed, and people will continue to respond. Jesus is still winning. In these days, no one says Caesar is Lord, but over 2.5 billion people say that Jesus is. In these days, the number of Christ followers is growing around the world, especially in places like Africa and Asia. Did you know by 2050, they think there will be 3.3 billion Christians? In these days, 100 million Bibles are printed every year. Every year. And there are 2 billion Bibles in circulation. And it continues to be translated into languages, you know, for use in some of the remotest parts of the world. In these days, Jesus continues to triumph over the Caesar Augustuses of our day. Every world leader of today will simply be a blip in history compared to him. They will all soon be gone, but his kingdom will continue. It will continue to thrive and grow until someday he comes again and he makes all things new, and what a glorious day it will be. But to be fair, it doesn't always feel like Jesus is winning, does it? No, it doesn't. Often in these days, it feels like he and we are losing. Prayers that go unanswered, sickness, conflict, habits that prove stronger than we are, loss of a job, the death of loved ones. To be sure, we don't always feel like Jesus and his kingdom are winning. There are still many competing kings, and a cross certainly looms behind the stable. And this is why the appearance of God's grace in Jesus, it cannot be explained apart from the fact that he is the one who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us. But if a cross looms behind the stable, then so does resurrection. And these days, while we often suffer setbacks, we also experience victories, prayers answered, addictions overcome, marriages healed, and turnarounds doctors cannot explain. And these smaller victories, they point us forward to the day that final victory will come, the victory that is assured. And Christmas, my friends, Christmas, what we celebrate is the birth of that hope. It is God's intervention into a dark world with his glorious light that will not, no, it cannot be snuffed out. It will shine in the darkness until it breaks forth like a new day, because in those days was born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. God bless you, and Merry Christmas.